I want to talk about the Holy Ghost again today. I want to begin by talking about our God is a God of abundance. Genesis chapter 1 gets us into that mood, that frame of mind, that orientation immediately. Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly upon above the earth in the open firmament above." Genesis 1:22, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let fowl multiply in the earth." Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, "And God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The abundance of our God. Our God is a God of abundance. But after creation, after God blessed them, after God said, "Be fruitful and multiply," man sinned. And God had warned him, the day you eat thereof, the day you sin, in other words, you shall surely die. And so we learn from that death is the result of original sin. Death is the result of Adam and Eve's sin in the Garden of Eden. There's nothing you and I can do about it. We were born of corruptible seed and we're all going to die. Hebrews 9:27 says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after death, or after that, the judgment. So if you cannot escape death, there's no way you're going to escape the judgment, because the same God that said you're going to die is the same God that said we're going to stand in judgment before Him. As it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. After death the judgment. I have used that on people in the world and have alarmed them. And it's a good lesson for us to learn. If you cannot escape death, no way will you be able to escape judgment. Amen. So man sinned, and death came upon all men, because we were born of that corruptible seed of Adam and Eve. All they could produce was what they were, and they were sinners. All they could produce was sinners, but thank God for this abundant grace that has been brought to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. He shed His blood on Calvary abundantly. He suffered pain. He gave His life. He did it all for you and me. And He came, He said, to give us life more abundantly. Abundantly. In other words, the new birth is far greater than the first birth. The first birth will keep you alive approximately 70. If you're real strong, you might live to be 80, a little longer, but your steps falter and your face wrinkles and your back hurts and finally you do die. Some people live to be 100 and a little over, but I don't know of anybody today 200 years old. Anybody know anybody 200 years old today? No, I don't think the President of the United States knows anybody in the world 200 years old. Nobody knows anybody 200 years old, because we die. But the new birth gives us eternal life. Now that's far greater than the first birth. I can't read the book of Ephesians without being impressed with the thought of God's abundance. Beginning right in the first chapter, verse 17. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe." Exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, and not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Oh, I love that terminology. Abundant, exceeding great, mighty, filleth all in all, fullness. And then you go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. that in the ages to come, eons and eons to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Then you turn to chapter 3, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that he being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him who that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Don't you get the idea that we have a God of abundance when you read verses like that? I'll tell you, if you ever feel a little low, you shouldn't, but if you ever do, just sit down with your Bible and open up and read the book of Ephesians, especially the first three chapters. Just read the first three chapters of Ephesians, and if you don't feel better afterwards, fall on your knees and repent and pray and ask God to help you, and then read it again. It'll bless you. I can't read that without just becoming so blessed. Amen. And then there are many, many other scriptures in the Bible that tell us of God's abundance. What about Romans 8:33? Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Now, God has provided an abundance for us, not only in this life, but for eternity. We have eternal life also. And I think this verse covers both. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, listen to this, neither have entered into the secret thoughts, the silent thoughts, you know, that those unutterable thoughts of man, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Do you want to hear a little about what he's prepared? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And then down to verse 10, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high. See that abundance? And had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street. You know, we have dirt, and we have blacktop, and we have cement or concrete, and the street of the city was pure gold. You know, you walk on it over there, it's so common. You just walk on it. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. I'm just reading about your new home. After you finish running the house here, we'll get back to work. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. That's something to get excited about. Get excited about walking on gold. You're awfully excited about a little gold down here. People kill for a little bag of dust. You know, gold dust. Anyway, God is a God of abundance. And God's promises of an abundance include an abundance of the Holy Ghost. An abundance of the Holy Ghost. Some people wonder why I am like I am. Let me explain to you why I am like I am. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. That's why. People have tried to shoot me down for years. I'm sorry, but your bullets are going right through. Oh, listen to this. Hallelujah. John 7:37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. He stood and cried, "If any man thirst," remember it's conditional, he said if. If is always conditional, you know. If they repent, they'll be saved. If you don't, you won't be saved, and so on. But if any man thirst, in other words, it's available. He's offering it to us all. It's available. You don't have to live without it. You can have it. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's good. Give me another gallon. Oh, that's good. Woo! Am I feeling great? Man, I just had 3 gallons of Holy Ghost. Wow, praise the Lord. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, 3 gallons isn't enough. Out of his belly shall flow rivers. Rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. Should I read it again? If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You got to be thirsty. And if you drink, you can have all you want. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said so. The Bible says so. God said so. John said so. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you should receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about the Holy Ghost in the Old Testament a little bit here. Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 17 and 18. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. Turn to 43:20. 43:20. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. Chapter 44, verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. When you talk about water, when you talk about oil, you're talking about Holy Ghost in the Bible. Chapter 58, 11. Chapter 58, verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Amen. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then if you want to turn to Joel, Hosea, Joel 2:28. And it shall come to pass afterward. Now he's talking about rain again, for in verse 23 he says, he hath given you the former rain moderately, he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. Oh, we have a lot of people today that say that misinterpret the Apostle Paul when he says it's a shame for women to talk in the church. It's as though they can't talk in tongues in the church. It's as though they can't prophesy in the church. Paul said, you may all prophesy. You may all prophesy. That's male and female. He didn't say all you men may prophesy. And he says here, and also upon the servants and upon my handmaids, that's women, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Yes, women talk in tongues too when they get the Holy Ghost, even if they're in church. Did you get that?
Yes.
Okay, praise the Lord. Do you know that word in Joel 2:28? Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass in those days I will pour out my spirit. That word pour is number 8210. 8210, it's pronounced Shafak. And it means this. Listen to what pour out the Holy Ghost means. Pour. Listen to it from the Hebrew. To spill forth. To spill forth. I can get by it, but I have a little trouble with using the word spill regarding the blood of Jesus when they say he spilled his blood. Because in one sense of the word spill means the result of an accident. And Calvary was no accident. But when he poured out the Holy Ghost, that was no accident either. But when you get filled, you just accidentally spill on other people.
All
right. Yes, you do. You just accidentally spill on other people. You go in the restaurant minding your own business, but you're sitting there, hallelujah, glory to God. Praise the Lord. You sit your Bible out there and you start reading. People walk by and they go, what is that feeling I get? You spilled on them.
All right.
You just spilled on them.
All right.
They felt the presence of God in you. They felt that Holy Ghost in you emanating from your very being.
Amen.
The word pour, when he says he pours out the Holy Ghost on you, means to spill forth. It means to mound up, whether it's a liquid or whether it's a solid. The Hebrew says, it mounds up, and it means to sprawl out. It mounds up, it sprawls out, it casts up, it gushes out, it pours out. Whoo, it has a spilling effect. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A good friend of mine, a preacher, said the Lord spoke to him one day, and I got the day here, April 15th, 1990, and the Lord said to him, there is a vast supply. I have a vast supply of power of healing of the Holy Ghost. Go tell the people. I remember being in a series of meetings one time where many churches met together at a certain spot for a week's meeting. And I remember the man in charge got all of us ministers together, and he said, now, I don't want this series of meetings to peak on the first day. So hold it down a little on day one, and then let it build up on day two. Kind of like a preacher prepares a sermon. He builds up to a climax. He builds up to a point. Or even if you're telling a story to somebody, you build up to a point. You know what I mean? Sure you do. Okay, so anyway, this leader told us that he wanted to work it up until the last day was the best day of the camp meeting. Well, I knew what he meant. I knew what he meant, but I had a big problem with it because I had a different concept of God, obviously, than he did. See, with God, there is no peak. With God, there are no boundaries. With God, there is no extremity, no zenith, no apex, no terminus. There's no end. He's an infinite God. You can have the best meeting you've ever had in the history of the church on day one, and day two can still be better.
Amen.
Day three can be better yet, and day four better yet. There's no limit in God. It's how much of us we yield to Him.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He's got all we need.
Amen.
And an abundance. Praise the Lord. And you know, something came to me. There is a starting place in God. Actually, August 27, 1944 was my starting place in God up on 430 Water Street when I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, my spiritual life really began for me. It might begin at other times for other people, but that's when it really began for me. I had hunger before that. I had a great desire to find God before that, but I finally found God, and God found me. We met that day at the altar. I'll never forget it. Praise the Lord. It's as alive right now as it was when it happened. I feel it right now. Praise the Lord. So I say this. There is a starting place in God, but there is no ending place in God.
Amen.
Let us go on and on and on and on. Paul said, not as though I've already been made perfect or already arrived, but I keep reaching forth and pressing toward the mark. Praise the Lord. And I repeat to this church, we have not arrived at a place in God where He has no more for us. Let's not rest on our laurels. Let's not just lean back and relax and say, we've got it all. We're Jesus' name Pentecostal. We baptized right, and we received the Holy Ghost right, and we're the holiness people. We can't decide which pair of culottes to buy yet, but oh, that kind of proves we got a problem yet, you know? Yes, amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. So I say, we haven't arrived at a place in God where He doesn't have any more for us. He has more for this church, and if we will wait on God, if we'll seek God, if we'll cry out to God, He'll give us more. We don't have enough healings in our midst. I haven't seen enough miracles in this generation. I want more. My heart's crying out for more of God.
Amen.
We haven't seen sinners fall on the street, kneel at the curb and pray and receive the Holy Ghost like some old timers have. We need to see things like this. Praise the Lord. But many times we'll come up to this altar and we'll sit and we'll kneel, and we're not even praying sometimes. We're just sitting there watching, looking around, waiting for God to move, waiting for God to fill some empty vessel with the Holy Ghost. Well, maybe if we were so full of the Holy Ghost ourselves, maybe if we were running over ourselves, we'd spill.
Praise the Lord. On
our visitors, on our guests, on our friends, on our fellow saints. Praise the Lord. We need to spill all over with the Holy Ghost. We need to spill everywhere. I mean, you're full. You know, do you ever take a glass of water or a cup of coffee from Old Country Buffet, and you feel it a little too full, and you're walking along, and you spill a little. It gets on the carpet. Well, if that was Holy Ghost, the carpet would start dancing. You know? If that was Holy Ghost, praise the Lord. Well, what's wrong with you and me being full of the Holy Ghost, and then the river just running over, and everywhere we go, we spill. We spill the Holy Ghost on people. Let it be infectious. Let it be contagious. Praise the Lord. Let's spill. Amen. I heard a pastor once say, from behind a pulpit, he said, save it for camp meeting, folks. That's the time and place for shouting and dancing. I have the quote right here. Save it for camp meeting. That's the time and place for shouting and dancing. Well, see, some churches seem to think that the only proper time to really be blessed in the Holy Ghost is when somebody receives the Holy Ghost. You know, you pray through, and then you're through praying until the next one prays through, and then you're through praying until the next one prays. I don't believe that. I like to kill that doctrine, especially if it raises its ugly head in this church. I don't like it, because real faith will result or will cause or effect joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. How can I save my joy explosion for camp meeting? How can I save my joy explosion for camp meeting when I've got it right now and it's about to burst? It's about to blow the lid off. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How can I save my joy explosion for camp meeting when the joy of the Lord is my strength? Am I supposed to be some feeble person between camp meetings? And then at camp meeting, I'm strong? No. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah 8:10 says, is your strength. Isaiah 12:3, listen to this. I have salvation. I don't have it at camp meeting only. I have it year round. Joy in salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Listen, I'm saved, folks. I'm saved. I have joy.
Praise the Lord.
And if you don't excuse me, I'm still going to have joy. If you don't pardon me, I'm still going to have joy. Because I got saved and I've been growing in the Lord ever since, and my joy is growing right along with it. The more I learn about God, the more joy I have. The more I worship, the more joy I have. The more I read His Word, the more joy I have. The more I witness, the more joy I have. The more trials I go through, the more joy I have. What was that noise? It sounded like a ton of bricks fell. People, you do well. But I'll tell you, you talk to some Christians, they don't like to hear about trials. Well, let's talk about some of those things a minute. We have joy in salvation. With joy, we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Praise the Lord. When I got saved, somebody says, how can I be happy? When I got saved, I was rejected. Well, you don't know enough, that's all. You just don't know enough. You didn't get to Luke yet. You probably read a few verses somewhere in the Bible, but you got to read Luke chapter 6, 22, 23. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you. What? I go to work and everybody finds out I'm a Christian and nobody wants my company anymore. Nobody wants to eat lunch with me because I'm sitting there reading my Bible. Yeah, that's what I did. One man came, truck driver came in. I was on break and he looked over and he saw me reading this book and he says, hey, what dirty book you reading back there? I said, I'm reading the Holy Bible. He says, yeah. He laughed and he came walking around behind the counter, you know, where I was sitting. He leaned over and he looked and he really made fun of me. He looked and he saw I was reading it. He says, well, I'll be. You are reading the Bible. I said, yes, sir. Sure is good. And he stopped and he started talking to me. And he said, you know, I once studied to be a priest. He got real sober and serious with me. You know what's wrong? Nobody's spilling today.
Right.
Nobody's spilling. We're secret Christians. What did it say in that film? I think he said in Russia we have secret Christians or underground Christians. In America we have secret unbelievers or underground unbelievers. Wow, that is something. But see, when I got saved, I was rejected. And Jesus said, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company. Thank God it doesn't say from His company. Well, who can separate us from the love of God? Nobody, not even anybody that hates you or rejects you. Amen. When they separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap. The Bible says leap for joy. Right? Leap for joy when you're rejected. When your name is called evil. When you're cast out. When you're separated from them. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Hey, when you get saved, just think. Here's another aspect of your joy. You get rejected by the world and you leap for joy. I was spilling all over in a business place once and was asked to leave. I got in the car and for about a few seconds I thought, what went wrong here? And boy, I tell you, the Holy Ghost just filled that car and I start talking in tongues. Nothing went wrong. You just spilled. You just spilled a little Holy Ghost in that place. And you were told to leave. That didn't bother me. That didn't bother me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Jesus said it shouldn't bother you. You should leap for joy. How high can you leap? Hallelujah. Then another Christian says, but I have so many trials and temptations. Oh, read your Bible. Get through the Gospels and get into the Epistles. Get way down into James. James 1, 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you have fallen into divers temptations. Oh, praise the Lord. I just went through a trial. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I'm talking about an abundant God who gives us an abundance of joy and abundance of the Holy Ghost. He gives us so much that we can be rejected. We can be separated from people. We can be hated. We can be persecuted. We can go through trials. We can have temptations. And our joy just keeps growing. Boy, you talk about confuse the enemy and drive the devil nuts. That joy will do it. But you got to have it. And you got to be thirsty to get it. If any man thirsts, let him come to me. And I'll give him rivers, 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 rivers of it. Praise the Lord. That's Jesus and his abundance. Amen. Oh, just think of some of the more fringe, extra fringe benefits, added benefits. We have the joy of soul winning. Psalm 126:6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." There's nothing like it. There is nothing like it. I mean, I don't know what you can compare it to when you bring somebody to the Lord. You witness to somebody. They come to church. You look for them week after week, and finally one day, there they come. You see them all. That's them. Yeah. Brought his husband. Brought her husband, I mean. Look. Or he brought his wife. Look at that. Children are with them. Whole family's here. Where are the kids? They put them in Sunday school. Wow. They must. Wow. What's going on here? And so they come in. They sit down. And the song service begins. And somebody sings a special. And somebody starts crying while you're singing a special. That happened here just Wednesday night. Somebody started crying when a special was being sung, and somebody's heart was touched, somebody's heart was moved. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to have a Holy Ghost-filled church that spills on anybody that comes here, and they get wet, and they get touched by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. And the next thing you know, they get up out of the pew at the altar call, and they come to the altar, and you see that there's no joy like that. There's no joy like that. I remember when that city policeman pulled his police car up to our house on 1110 Locust Street back in 1967 or 68. I remember that March day when I was Saturday afternoon. It was a warm day. I was out washing my car. The police car pulled up. The man got out. Here it was an old friend of mine. And he was in trouble. I didn't know it at that time, but he was contemplating suicide. And the FBI, I understand, he told me, was on his trail. He was with the SDS. He was in trouble. Students for Democratic Society, that is. He was in trouble. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "This man's in trouble." I went to my wife to see if we could invite him over for supper that night. And he couldn't come that night, but he had Monday off of work. We invited him over Monday night. Well, to make a long story short, that was Brian Wiseman. He got saved and became a missionary to Brazil. Just because somebody witnessed him, somebody spilled Holy Ghost all over him. Praise the Lord. Holy Ghost conviction. Oh, we do it deliberately, but you got to know where I'm coming from this morning and what I'm saying. Sure. Whoops. I'm sorry. I just happened to spill a little on you. It isn't just walking by. It's taking your cup and dumping it on them too. Praise the Lord. My wife says she wishes she had a head drill. She'd like to drill a hole in people's heads and pour the gospel into them so they could get it. Praise the Lord. So we have the joy of soul winning. We come rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Praise the Lord. It's a wonderful feeling to be able to witness to somebody and watch them get saved. It brings joy to your heart. Not only that, but the angels in heaven are rejoicing when that happens over one sinner that repented, more than over 99 righteous persons. You know, I think self-righteous persons that need no repentance, and we know everybody needs to repent. Amen. So, some people misinterpret that passage of Scripture, and I'd love to talk about that. We have another great benefit, and that is we have the joy of communion with Him. "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We have the blessing. We have the blessing of communion with Him. That's something that a lot of people miss out on. They'd rather be with their friends. They'd rather be with the world. They'd rather go somewhere else and do something else. But, oh, let me tell you, the devil's lying to you. The devil is lying to anybody here that thinks they can have more fun in the world than they can have at this altar.
Amen. That's right.
That is a lie. That is a lie. That's a devil's lie. The thing is, the world has kept some people from enjoying the fullness of His presence here at this altar, or in your home, or on the street, or in your car, on your bicycle, go for a walk, anywhere, anytime. You can build your altar anywhere you go. But the devil has so many Christians deceived. He's lied to so many. He's got them believing that they can have more fun in the world than they can have in His presence. But the only way you're going to know the difference is to get in His presence. And cast off the world and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will find that His presence is far greater than the presence of the world and the things in the world. You will love it. You will love it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Visitors coming to hear them tonight. I think that's what the word is. I sure hope so, because the Lord wants to use the music ministry to spill all over people. Man, spill that Holy Ghost. You know, that's what that word, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, means. So I want to finish that Sunday school lesson that I started this morning and ran out of time, and now we've had the morning worship service, and I just want to finish this before we come and pray or are dismissed. Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Drink. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And we talked about in the first part our God being a God of abundance, for you that weren't here. And we talked about creation. He said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly." He said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the waters and the seas. Let fowl multiply in the earth." And then we read where God blessed Adam and Eve and said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." And then we talked about how man sinned and how God responded with an abundance of grace. He shed His blood for man. He gave His life for man. We talked about how the new birth is greater than the first birth. And then we read from the book of Ephesians how God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or think. I mean, these things are just amazing how abundant our, in expressing how abundant our God is. We read Romans 8:33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." And then we read in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that God is looking out for this life for us, and He's looking out for our eternity. "As it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." Then we went over in the book of Revelation. We read about those gates of pearl, those streets of gold, those walls of jasper. Praise the Lord. What abundance God has prepared for His people. We talked about the joy of communion with Him. And we talked about the word pour out, shafak, and how it means to spill forth, to mound up, whether it be liquid or solid, to sprawl out, to cast up, to gush out, to pour out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We decided that there is a starting place in God, but there's no stopping place in God. And we talked about a whole lot of other things that are on the tape. But we're not saving our joy explosion for camp meeting, because it won't wait. Amen. We have to explode every day because of the goodness of God and the abundance of God, the blessings of God. But I want to finish this lesson by talking about the best days are still ahead. The best days are still ahead. Listen to how Jesus felt about that when He went through this life and suffered the contradiction of sinners against Himself. And the Bible tells us to consider Him. Look what He went through when He was carrying that cross at the Via Dolorosa. Remember when the blood was running from His head and His back, His face, and spit and spittle and blood mingled together running down His chin. And they were weeping for Him, and He stopped and He looked at the women that were lamenting greatly over Him, and He said, "Weep not for me. I know my future. I know where I'm going. I know what eternity holds for me. You weep for yourselves and for your children and the things that are coming on you." The Bible says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, 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 joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set at the down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yeah. That's the place you and I need to be in.
Yes.
He was our example.
Yes.
And he said, I have overcome the world. Now you can rejoice because I have overcome the world. Because in me you'll find your victory. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, 12 says, rejoicing in hope. Oh, we don't just rejoice when things go good. We rejoice in hope. When things go bad, when things go wrong, when trials and tribulations and temptations come our way, when we're facing trouble, we rejoice in hope.
Yes.
Hope. Hope. We rejoice in hope.
Amen.
Better days ahead. The best days are still ahead. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Ghost. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. What is the kingdom of God? Romans 14, 17 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and what?
Joy.
How can anybody say joy without a smile on their face? Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I've got good news. You can sample eternity's blessings right now.
Amen.
You can sample eternity's blessings in this life. 2 Corinthians 5, 5. Who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Again, we have it. Before you can get the Holy Ghost, you have to be converted. Did you know that? You have to be converted before you get the Holy Ghost. You have to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ before you get the Holy Ghost. You repent of your sins before you get the Holy Ghost. You go through those steps and stages before you get the Holy Ghost. Listen to this. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, after you believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. We better look into the word earnest for a moment here. Number 728 in your Strong's dictionary. And it means a pledge. Remember now, he gave us the Holy Ghost, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That earnest, that gift of the Holy Ghost, is a pledge. That is, it is part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. I know I'm going to heaven. I have the earnest. I have the down payment. I have the prepayment. I have that foretaste. I know I'm going to heaven. I know it's real. There's no question about it. There's no doubt in my mind. I have the pledge. I have the pledge, the earnest of my inheritance. Praise the Lord. Webster's dictionary says earnest means something given or done as an indication or assurance of what is to come. Well, if there's more of this to come, I'm not going to miss out on it for the world. I wouldn't miss out on it for the world because I love my Holy Ghost. I love my times of communion with him. I love those times when I pray in the Spirit and the blessing of the Lord envelops me and indwells me and fills me. Praise the Lord, and I'm showered with his blessings. Oh, I thank God for the Holy Ghost, the earnest of my inheritance. Our God is a God of abundance. He didn't give us barely enough joy to keep us from going under. He's a God of abundance. He didn't give me just enough to keep me from going under. He gave me joy unspeakable and full of glory. Praise the Lord. He gives us enough joy to affect others without even trying to affect others. He gives you that abundance. It just spills over. I remember one time I was in the grocery store, the big grocery store, you know. I was walking from one aisle down the other, and a guy was looking at me, and me to come. And I ran right into him. Here's a big fella. He said, sir, I want to know what you've got. I want to know what you've got. You're so different. You're so happy. How many have ever had that said to you? Quite a few of you. Yes, you've had that said to you. There's something different about you. What is it? Oh, and then the joy of witnessing. Praise the Lord. The Lord didn't give us just enough power to barely overcome our trials and troubles and tribulations. No, not at all. He gave us enough power to live a supernatural life in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's just what He wants us to live. He doesn't want us to fear the devil. He wants us to cast him out. The Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Jesus is in us. The devil's in the world. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and abundance. Hallelujah. And by the word of their testimony. By the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He overcame the world as a man. Not as God, as a man. He overcame the world in his human nature, not in his divine nature. Amen. He overcame the world. And he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Listen to this. We that have part-time victory. Listen to this. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. I honestly believe, saints of God, that this is the place the Lord wants to bring us to as quickly as we can get there. We can overcome. I'm not mad at people when they don't have the victory. Boy, people sure get mad at me for having the victory. Really? I go into work, you know, years ago I go into work and Monday morning and I'm feeling so great. I've been anointed all day Sunday, singing and preaching and rejoicing. And I go to work and I walk in, the first customer comes in and he looks at me, what are you smiling about? He says to me. I said good morning to another one. He says, what's good about it? You got some tomato juice? Oh, my head. What's the matter with your head? Oh, I got a headache. What do you got a headache for? Well, I drank a little too much yesterday. I said, I drank all day and I didn't get enough. I'm still thirsty. Hallelujah. I want more, 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 more. Praise the Lord. More. Amen. No, we used to do. We had church in the morning and people felt sorry for me. Having church 8 o'clock at night and then not getting home till midnight from Fork to Eau Claire. And so they decided they'd move the church up. See, they had church at 8 o'clock, so the farmers had their cows to milk and get done with their chores and get to church on, and still enjoy the evening church service. So they changed it to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, I got to preach in the morning, the anointing of the Holy Ghost there, go home and eat dinner, have great fellowship with the saints. A man walking down the road one time, just something grabbed him and turned him, and he came into the house, 83 years old. I ended up taking down the river, baptizing him, and oh, praise the Lord. That was old Fred. And praise God. Just wonderful things. But they changed the church service at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, having pity on me, getting home so late. Well, you know what happened? We had church one of those Sundays at least, and many of them went for a long time. But, I mean, I'm talking about people laying under the piano bench, laying all over the floor, drunk on the Holy Ghost, people getting the Holy Ghost, families coming into God. I mean, we packed the place out. But anyway, we started church at 3 o'clock. We went to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. We didn't hardly get out any earlier if we started at 3 or whatever. Brother Bennett wanted to know if the quartet should sing before I spoke or after I finished. I said, don't think I'm going to finish. There's just too much. It's rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Oh, let's swim in those rivers of living water. Let's enjoy the presence of the Lord. Sunday dinner, Sunday afternoon ballgame. Oh, come on. Jesus is far better, far greater than all of those things. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our God is a God of abundance, abundance, abundance. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This is better than going home to dinner. This is better than going home to dinner. And I thank God for an abundance of food, natural food. I really do, because I have a hearty appetite. If you've ever listened to me eat, you know that. I have a hearty appetite. I really do. I don't know how. I mean, I get up in the night, you know, and I'm hungry. I'm just hungry. Get up in the morning, I'm hungry. Before I go to bed at night, I'm hungry. Hungry, hungry. Sure, I can get filled up, but right now, you ought to see what we have in our refrigerator. An abundance of fresh fruit, vegetables from the gardens. We have people, some of you have brought us new potatoes. Can you picture them? I mean, new potatoes. They are fantastic. They are delicious. You can do anything with a potato and it's good. You can french fry it, deep fry it, roast it or whatever they call it. You can mash it. You can steam it, boil it, anything. Potatoes. How can you find anything better than a potato? How many like potatoes? Oh, I love potatoes. They're so good. And then we have these new ones there, you know, it doesn't look like they have any peelings on them at all. They're so thin. Put those on your plate and just a little butter on them. Or if you don't want to spoil the taste of the potato, you don't even put butter on it. You just eat the potato. It's so good. And then somebody brought us some fresh picked green beans. And I just mound up my plate with green beans, fresh green beans. So delicious. Our God is a God of abundance. All those potatoes, green beans. Now we have these big bags of leaf lettuce, you know, that they cut out of the garden. And my wife's got a special dressing you put on there. We eat them. And then those little whole onions to go with it, you know. And, oh, it's so good. We have beef in the freezer. And then we went to the store and got a jar of peanut butter with the oil on it. You know, I don't like that partially hydrogenated stuff they put in it and spread so nice and easy. You know, I like that kind of oil comes to the top and you mix it up and so on. And then I cut a piece of bread last night and I poured some oil, olive oil on it. Then I went and I got a big scoop of peanut butter and put on it. And then I took some honey and poured on that. And then I made myself a hot cup of tea. Oh, is that good? Is that good? If you've never tried that, that is as good as any main course or dessert. It is good. It'll fit before the meal, during the meal, or after the meal. It's wonderful. But what I'm talking about is what a blessing to have an abundance of food. Well, that's in the natural. We love it. We enjoy it. That's how I feel about the Holy Ghost. He said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. I've got a spiritual table spread for him. You can walk. Have you ever walked down one of those buffets, you know, where you can get some of this and some of this and some of this and some of this and some of this, and you go down here and you walk around the table and you get some more. Then the counter curves and you go down this way and you get some more food. Oh, I love it. That's the Holy Ghost banquet that the Lord has prepared for us right here and now. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. But I know, I do a lot of second guessing and pre-thinking and premeditating, and I try to stay ahead of things, and I've already thought, somebody's going to ask me, will I be this positive and confident when it comes time to die? When the doctor says you've got cancer, you've got 8 weeks to live, will I be this confident when the time comes to die? Or when the time comes for me to be offered up as a martyr? You shall be witnesses. That word in the Greek is martyrs. You shall be martyrs unto me for witnessing for his name. I've already been handled a little bit on that physically. And I just like to give you my answer. I am confidently trusting that God will furnish me with a vast supply of grace when it comes time to be a martyr or when it comes time to die. I've read too many stories to give up. I've read too many stories to be afraid when he said, fear not, I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I am with you even unto the end of the world, right through death.
The end of the world may be after my death, you know. So he's going to be with me not till death. He's not going to forsake me at death. He's going to be with me to the end of the world. Hallelujah. Right to the grave. Praise the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says, is the death of his saints. Oh, I love that. You know, we already have the witness of scriptures. We have Jesus saying, weep not for me. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves. And I just believe that the Lord's going to give me that grace and that courage, that strength, and sustenance when it comes time for me to give my life. Amen. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Amen. Despising the shame. What about Stephen? Let's read about Stephen here before we go home this morning. Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7, toward the end of the chapter, beginning at verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now here's a martyr. A man martyred for witnessing. Witnessing means martyr. But he, listen to him, listen to the description of Stephen now. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now, God's no respecter of persons. When it comes time for us to be martyred, when it comes time for us to die, why not see Jesus? Why not be blessed? Hallelujah. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of their city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. What do you think of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20? Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Oh, praise the Lord. What about Paul writing to Timothy? He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is hand. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, Paul said, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And I love his appearing, so I have that confidence, that trust in God tonight, that he will furnish me with a vast supply of grace. Why would he let me down then? He's with me now through my troubles, my trials, my tribulations. Amen. He'll be with us to the end. Beside that, the book of Revelation chapter 14 verse 13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. The song says, I'm trusting to the unseen hand. Praise God. Remember when Lazarus died? The dogs had licked his sores. He was a poor man. He died. The Bible says the angels came and carried him away. Hallelujah. Let's stand.